Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Today, I'm not going to keep you for long. I have a message from God for you today, and it's a message. Sometimes as we prepare for messages, it's very difficult to get a message. Sometimes when you have to preach, sometimes it's like, oh gosh. But this message was very clear. Very clear message I have from God today for you. And I just want to thank God for my salvation. I thank God from where I was to where I am today. I thank God for this amazing ministry that we're a part of. I thank God for our founders, and I don't say that really cheesy. I am really not a cheesy person. But I thank God for this ministry. If it wasn't for this ministry, you would not find me in church today. And that is the truth. I want to just read a quote from our founder, Pastor Sonny Organzoni. He put it on Facebook, and I absolutely loved it. And he wrote, "We don't put vision before exaltation. The whole ministry began with a relationship. He's not only my Lord and Savior, he is my friend." That is why Pastor Sonny has a worldwide ministry, because of his relationship with God. It has never changed, and it is still today about every single one of us. It's about our relationship with God. And for anybody in this room that is not saved, that sounds really weird to have a relationship with God. But when you become born again, you can have, through his Holy Spirit, a relationship with God. That's what he gives us. And the word that God gave me tonight is about the furnace of God. The furnace of God. Is the furnace in you burning? Or is it just a dusty old place with no fire in there, like gone out? Anyone ever had to clear out fireplaces? Maybe you're not old enough for that. But years ago, all the houses used to have fires. And if you're from up north, I have a relation, my grandma used to live in Newcastle, or Crook near Newcastle. And every morning she used to light the fires. And I used to go down and I had to help clean the fireplace. And it was disgusting, to be perfectly honest. And sometimes I feel that God maybe looks in the inside of his believers, and he just looks at those dry old embers, and he gives it a little and if he blows on it, or you know, they used to use those things that you do that with to come alive. But if there's no spark, then nothing's going to come alive. You're just going to get loads of old ash all over you, and that's a nasty place to be. So today my word is about the furnace of God. The furnace of God. See, the Bible talks about fire. It talks about fire a lot in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. And today we're going to be speaking about the purification process. We're going to be speaking about the process, and we're going to be speaking about the purpose. These three things that happen when we go through the fiery times. But there are some key elements when we go through that furnace. And if you don't have those key elements in place, then you're going to come out a little bit messed up. And so there are some things that the Lord wants to give you, some tools today that the Lord wants to give you. You may even have them, and God is saying, you know what, let's sharpen those tools. Let me just bring to remembrance, because the Bible always talks about bringing to remembrance. Why do you think that is? It's because we're human and we forget. And he brings to remembrance those things that he has spoken and declared into being. Had an amazing time at the convention. We want to come back, and we don't want to regurgitate. I don't want to vomit on you. I don't want to bring everything exactly what was said. But in a nutshell, I think each one of us brought something back. I shared on Sunday that I had an experience with God. I haven't had many experiences, but the ones I've had have been memory stones that have enabled me to be launched further into the future. And in America, I had an infilling. I didn't even know what it was, and I don't really care. But what I know is it was a powerful thing. I felt the power of the Holy Spirit come. And I already have the Holy Spirit, so I wasn't getting born again. It's okay. And my doctrine's all right. I'm still intact. But I was filled afresh and anew at an altar call. And to be honest, it wasn't even about the person preaching. I'm not even really hugely that bothered about people and preaching. And I am bothered about him. I'm bothered about his spirit. I'm bothered about his presence. I'm bothered about his anointing. And he, Almighty God, decided to touch me on this altar call. And I, like I said on Sunday, and they all been taking the mic in the meeting today, that the Holy Spirit went, it's actually a really nice word. Some people pray in tongues like that, don't they? Oh, Susanna, you do. You've got a lovely little tongues. He's so sweet. It's like a tick-a-tick-a-tick. So, and it was like a power. And I was looking around me thinking, oh my gosh. I felt like all my organs were being rattled. And the last time I had that experience is when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'd never been raised in a Christian home, never knew nothing about it. I thought it was the best kept secret. I was thinking, how did I get to 27 years old and I didn't know anybody that was born again? I didn't even know they existed. It was like the best kept secret. Why did anyone never tell me? And speaking in tongues, I was just like, what? But when God filled me on an all-night prayer meeting when I first got saved, same thing. And I didn't really know what had happened. I just knew that God declared to me, for this new season, I'm infilling you. And then he says, I am separating you for higher things. I was like, okay. And then after that, I got on, because I was very busy at the conference, and I just got on with all the different things. It's only when we came back to the first service. Who was here on the first service on Sunday? Oh my gosh. You seriously, I am just going to say to you right now, the first service, they're both amazing, but they're different. The dynamics are very different, but this first service here on a Sunday was so powerful. There was embers, and you're going to think, okay, here she goes, she's off. Embers, she's off, of fire being released on this altar. And I was here, and the Holy Spirit said to me, do you remember? I was like, what? Do you remember? Do you remember what I did at conference? I said, oh yeah, I remember what you did. Wow. And it started again. I was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't contain it. It was like, and I have never had, when the Holy Spirit is on you, it was like, I was crying out for souls. It's not natural to cry out for souls, you know. It's a supernatural thing. Why on earth would I, you know, in my natural form, want to cry out for souls? I mean, really? I was crying out. And then the Holy Spirit started to see us, hear us. I'm like, my gosh, shut up, Vicky. I'm like, oh. But it was the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a fresh wind upon you, upon this church, upon us. And tonight, I really sense that you are going to receive from him. You're going to receive from him because there's an overflow. It's flowing out. You know, it's not God's not got any favorites here. If you're open to it, see, I'm open. I am so open. I am so hungry for him. And if you're hungry for him, he will overflow you. He will come in his power. He will do something. But if you're not hungry for him, those that hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake will be filled. But if you're not hungry, you'll just walk away. Whatever, she's off on that. She's tripping about on the stage again, screaming and shouting and doing her thing. This is for all of us here. And as we've been hearing, God has declared over this church that he's bringing us into a spacious place. And it's because he's delighted in you and me and this church. and the spacious place. I could spend an hour telling you of the miracles that have been happening. I could tell you the miraculous things coming through the post, like 15 grand just dropped here and 2 grand here, and someone on just a little written note just flung it through the letterbox. We love what you're doing here, 15 grand. I'm not even messing about. God is opening the windows of heaven. God, it's not a natural thing. £15,000 on a written note with a little flung through the letterbox of the church for the work that you are doing. And that's just the start of it. I could recount right here the things that God is doing. But I'm up here to preach a message. But I want to tell you, you're in miraculous territory. The supernatural Spirit of God is not just hovering. He's not just hovering. He is descending upon Manchester and upon Victory Outreach. It is. I don't know whether we're entering the end times or it already has, but you are part of an end time ministry, and we are the frontline soldiers, and I'm in it. We're in it. This church is an important part. You're an important part. We're going to be launching churches out. We're going to be launching to the east, the north. We're going to launch into Manchester. We're going to cluster this city because there's many, many souls. There's many souls in Manchester and the outer cities that need to be reached. So we're expanding and enlarging our territory, and we are moving into a spacious place. There was a prophetic word, not just Sunday, but we received it on Monday. And the word was, the spirit of holiness is being released, a spirit of burning. All that is a hindrance will be washed away, and you will walk right through your personal Jordan into the miraculous. There is a spirit of holiness. You've heard Paul speak about it, that there is a wave that is coming of holiness and conviction. Sometimes we think, oh yeah, that's nice. Holiness. I don't know about you, but you lot are not looking that holy, and nor am I. So we're all going to get a bit shaken up in this place. It's uncomfortable. When God talks about purification, He talks about things being burned away. I want to just describe to you what a furnace is. And I know that I am limited on time, but I am the pastor's wife, so I do have a little bit of authority. Not much. I have about as much authority as God gives me. And I also have as much authority as the pastors in this church give me. Thank God for the pastors in this church, because I want to tell you, as a strong woman, I need the men of God, because I can get a little bit naughty, as many of you do know. But I thank God He's given us strong men of God to cover us and also allow us to minister. I mean, I appreciate Paul, really appreciate my husband, because we're teamwork. We do this together. He allows me to wisdom, to speak. He's always saying to me, what do you think, Vicky? And I'm like, but then when I look at our founders, they do the same thing. They work as a team. And God created a marriage to be a team. A furnace. A furnace is a place which is an enclosed place which heat is produced by combustion of fuel. It is used for melting of metals, warming pottery. It can be used for glass, anything to extreme temperatures. A furnace is also known as a place or a time of punishment, affliction, or great trial. This is in the Bible. Or severe experience or discipline. A furnace also is known as to throw out or exhale. And also, throw out or exhale. How does this apply to us today? Well, the word that we're looking at, first of all, is purification. Proverbs 17:3 says, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tries the hearts. Why does God purify us? One of the reasons that God takes us through fiery trials is because he wants those nasty things to come to the top. It's like the sediment. Anyone been having some real character stuff being risen to the top lately? And I just want to encourage you today that when you go through it and you start to see these nasty things, these attitudes, maybe anger, maybe pride, maybe selfishness, maybe lust, maybe greed. You know, we are human. It happens. I want to encourage you today that God has you in his furnace. The fiery trial that you are going through today is working out for your good. He is just allowing that nasty, stinky sediment to come to the top, and he's scraping it off. He just, every time, he's just giving that a good old scrape. But sometimes the fiery trial lasts longer than we want it to. There's times when I think, okay, God, that's enough. Thank you. I think we've seen enough, we felt enough, my husband's had enough of me, and all the rest of it. Or I even might say, I think, Paul, that's enough of the trial you're in, whatever it is, it needs to stop. You're all messed up. And then God just scrapes a bit more off the top, and we're still in it. There's been some trials in our life. I had that trial of cancer for 4 years. On and off, you know, enemy buffeting me. I was like, oh my gosh, I must be so messed up. Breaking and oh my gosh. And then I remember when Paul went through depression for 18 months. Smashed to pieces. 18 months is a long time to be down and feel like he can't see out. When we're born again, yes, we go through difficult times. But I want to encourage you today that when we go through those times, that we have to hold on to God is working something good. See, he knows what's inside of you, and he knows the environment and the thing that he wants to bring it out. He even knows the people. He designed your children for you. He designed your husband. He designed the home. He designed your workplace, your university place. He designed this church to bring out those things in you, good and bad. Oh, but that doesn't sound like Christianity. I thought Christianity was all like nice. And well, I want to tell you that as well today, that is a load of rubbish. Because Christianity is building warriors. It builds women and men with backbone. It builds people that have been refined in the fire, that have been refined and sharpened. You tell me someone, you show me someone that has walked with the Lord and allowed the workings, and I will stand and honor that person. Because the workings of God, the fiery furnace he has us in, can be difficult sometimes. But I want to encourage you today that God hasn't finished yet. God has not finished with you yet. There are some key things you need to do when you're going through that fiery trial. One of the key things, when God is purifying you, you need to get hold of the Word of God. I got a picture when I was walking Pablo, my little Pablo. And there's even been a picture done about Pablo. He's famous. Did you see the art on Sunday? Okay, wrong color. I wanted to say it's the wrong color. And then I wanted to say, whoa, where's that dog walker? Where's Marissa getting those dog walkers from? Big slit up the I was like, is that how he sees me? I hope not. And I definitely don't look like that. I was like, but you know. I was walking Pablo and the Lord showed me this furnace. And inside was this white light. And out off that white light was like these sparks coming off it. I was like, God, what is that? He says, it's the Word of God. That when you go through the fire, the Word of God, it's Christ. Jesus was made flesh amongst us. And when we carry the Word with us through our trial, Sometimes that's the only thing that you can hold on to, is his word. But I tell you something, you hold on to that promise, you hold on to that word, you hold on to what God says. And I tell you right now, you hold on with your dear life as if that's all you've got, because really, that is all you've got. Everything else will pass away, but his word is eternal. You hold on to that, you hold on, you hold on, you push through, you declare it, you let it mull around in you, you let that living word, that active word, separate soul and spirit, go into the intentions and the motives and vary the bone and marrow. It's medicine to you. If you are sick in this place today, you need to get hold of that word and you need to apply it to your bones. You need to apply it to that cancer. You need to apply it to that diabetes. And it may not happen straight away, but I want to tell you, when it goes into that furnace, when it goes into that fiery place, when you take that word into that place of you, there's going to come a day that that diabetes, that cancer, that sickness will have to bow its knee. It will have to die. It will have to leave. It will have to go, because that is the promise that God has for us, the powerful word of God. His presence and his word, his presence and his word, his presence and his word, his presence and his word. That's all we have. That's all we need. Everything else comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. Circumstances change. Situations change. Hopefully husbands and wives don't change. They should stay the same. There's some things that shouldn't change, but he stays the same. His word stays the same. He doesn't change. He doesn't shift about. He's not like one of us. Oh, he's a faithful God. He is the God that doesn't change. And he's reliable. He's dependable. He's faithful. He's powerful. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere. He knows all of our hearts. He knows all your circumstances. He's not finished yet. He's not even started with some of you. Oh, you may be in that fiery furnace, but his word, just like, what's the name? And the fiery furnace, Daniel, and what's his name? All those names. Do you know who they are? Meshach. And there was a number 4 in there. Jesus was in the fiery furnace. His word was in there. He was in there, and just like me and you. We can be in that fiery place. Let him purify you. Don't run from the furnace. Don't stop the process. Don't get out of the fire. Don't run. Don't try and find another furnace. They're all the same. They hurt. They're hot. Oh my gosh. God is sovereign. God knows. He'll just bring someone just like that person. He'll just bring it round. You might as well be still and allow him to bring out what he wants to bring out. That's something I learned very quick. He's sovereign. I remember when I first got saved, I went to India. My mum took me on this amazing holiday with the guy she was with at that time. He was a diplomat, like Arab guy. I mean, it was all very strange, long story. She's saved now, thank you very much. But she took me on, well done, you're not on drugs anymore. Let me take you on a holiday, India. I was like, okay, mum. So I'd come out of the home and I'm like, I said to, I'm going on holiday. And Sister Nelly went, I don't know if that's wisdom. I said, well, I'm going to go anyway because I was who I was. So off I went and out, I thought, yes, I can just chill out. I'm away from all the Christians. I'm away from all that madness and all the hallelujah stuff. And I'm just going to lay on this beach. I don't want to tell you that on that beach, the enemy was there, but so was God. And I remember this Indian guy coming to me and offering me heroin. And I'm thinking, I'm here. And then the Holy Spirit whispered to me, Vicky, I'm everywhere you go. You can't go to the four corners of this earth. I will be with you. There's nowhere to run. It's like, And the hardest thing I've found about God, you know, the hardest thing I've struggled with God is he doesn't tell me what to do. He gives me a choice. I've had men in my life that have told me what to do, beaten me senseless. I've had my own father who was in the army, in the RAF, who was a disciplinarian, and he commanded in our household, fear-based, commanded. All I've known is men that have told me what to do. I came into a relationship with my father through Jesus Christ. And you know, the first thing I found out about this relationship that was different is he never forced me to do anything. You know, I found that really hard. Really hard. I wanted him to force me. Force me! You know, I wanted it, but he never forced me. He's always given me a choice. You know, that set me free. He's that love relationship. You know, that's been my biggest example as a parent, to not have to confront and scream and shout at my kids, which I've done that too, but through relationship. And we're in a relationship with God, and he never forces any one of us. You can choose to do what you want. But I choose today to choose life. I don't know about you. What do you choose today? What do you choose today? It says in Isaiah, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. You see, when God is purifying us, he takes us through a process, and that's the second point, purification and process. What happens in the process is a chemical reaction in that furnace. It's where gases, it's where the metals, it's where they're heated to such an extreme temperature that they change form. And this is what God is trying to do in our lives. He's trying to change your form. He wants you to look like Jesus. And that's going to take a little bit of sort of shaping the image of Jesus. Obviously, we're not physically going to look like Jesus. You know, whatever. We don't know what he looks like. People say they know what he looks like. They don't. The Bible says that we don't know what Jesus looks like. But inside, he's changing our character and forming us to become like Christ. And in the process, if you don't jump out of the fire, you don't jump out of the purification process, that's where the change happens. That's where you start to become different. And that's what God wants, is transformation. Anybody that stays the same, you are not in the fire. Because you cannot be in Christ and not change. Because that's his purpose, is to make us more like Christ. How does he do that? Yes, we know in the fire. We sometimes think it has something to do with church. It does, sort of, but it has to do with the mundane. It has to do with the day in, day out. It has to do with going to work. It has to do with your devotional every day. It has to do with whether you're a mother and taking care of your kids. It has to do with the same thing, day in, day out. What you mean I have to go again? What you mean another prayer meeting? What you mean I have to cook dinner again? What you mean every single day in, day out? Because isn't that what wears you out? Isn't that attrition, what does your head in? Or is it just me? Is that what wearies me? Is that what wearies you? Does it not just do your head in sometimes? Where you feel tired, where you feel weary, where you think, God, is this it? Is this it? Is this the purpose? Is this what I was born for? Every day, same thing. Hot cross buns in the toaster. Let butter the toaster and put the coffee on. No. Mom, hungry? Pablo, let Pablo in the car. Let's put the washing in the washing machine. Let's hang it on the radiators. Phone ringing. Day in, day out. Now, your thing might be slightly different to mine, but I'm sure it's as mundane as mine. Because none of our lives, you know, none of you are living in palaces, and even in a palace it gets boring, I'm sure. Very lonely, very boring, sat there. I really believe that. Mundane. Well, I want to say to you today that that's where God is changing you. Do not give up. Do not grow weary. Do not give in, because that day in, day out, I want to tell you, when you invite Jesus into that, it becomes exciting. There's something that starts to stir in that furnace. You wake up every morning, you bring Jesus into it. You say, oh God, give me the grace to be a mum. Give me the grace, God. I can't do it. I'm not a nice person. Give me the grace to take that coffee and put it beside the bed. Good morning. Give me the grace when Pablo's done a poo on the floor. Oh, instead of shouting up the stairs, Paul, Pablo's been to toilet again. Do I have to clear out the mess? Give me the grace, God, where I invite him into everything. And when I invite him in, when I get up and invite him into my mundane, my reality, into really who I am, not the pretending. You know, because that's a pretense, really. That whole sort of, you know, the whole Christian thing. The outward working stuff. I'm talking about the reality of living with Christ. He gets into those real places. And in reality, none of you are nice people. I do not care the pretense that you show. You're lying. You are a liar. You have just learned how to do it better than everybody else. But you are just as messed up as everyone else in here. We have all fallen short. We all have sinful nature. We just learn to walk quicker and better. But we have the same thoughts. We have the same insecurities. We have the same feelings. We have the same loneliness. We have it all the same. We just learn to activate that word a lot quicker. And that's what I want you to do, is I want you to get a hold of the fact that none of us are different. We may have done different things, but the root is the same. But we learn to apply and bring Jesus, his word, into it a lot quicker. I don't even give myself time to moan. I just start speaking to Jesus in the morning. I get my coffee and I have got such mad stuff going on in my head. There's a whole nother picture book going on inside my head. But I sit down, I say, I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Oh, I magnify you. You are the Lord of my life. You are everything to me. I magnify your name. I glorify you. And I just start to speak to Jesus. And I start declaring his word. And I want to tell you something. He enters, not just me, but he enters my house. He enters me as a mum. I don't care how depressed, down, angry, hurting, discouraged, which is most mornings, I get up out of that bed. I am telling you right now, when Jesus comes in, he never fails me. And I get up from there with a spring in my step, with an excitement. Even Pablo's poo looks good. I'm like, yes, Pablo, there is a spring in our step. We are alive in Christ. And even though I may not have the things I necessarily want, I may not be where I want, I may not have the weight I want to be, I may not have all those things, but I'm good with him. I'm good with him when you bring Jesus in. And the last thing, just to close with this, is when we've been through the purification, through the process, then comes the purpose. You see, nothing ever goes into the furnace without a purpose when it comes out. It goes in, if you have a bit of pottery, it goes in and it goes into the kiln to come out for a purpose. It might be a teapot, I don't know, it might be a cup, might be something, but God has a purpose for your life. And he wants to bring you to a place where nothing on the outside can mess you up. Because if there is still things on the outside that are messing you up, I want to tell you something, that we fight and we quarrel. Why? Because we do not get what we want. I want to tell you, you need to learn to lead yourself before you can lead anybody else. And I talk to myself. I got to learn to lead me. I need to learn to lead my insecurities and lead them to the very feet of Jesus. Because when we invite him into that place, then the purpose becomes a lot clearer, becomes a lot more defined. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it wasn't that God wasn't going to deliver them. But the attitude was, and this is when I had cancer, whether you heal me or not, I'm going to serve you. Whether you deliver me or not, I'm going to serve you. That's the place, the furnace, the place that God wants to bring us to. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. You may come at the left, you may come at the right, you may hit me with anything, but nothing will separate me from the love of Christ. God is working in me to fulfill a purpose and a plan. I was created. God created me for a purpose. Come hell or high water, there is a purpose for you and for me. Stand with me today. Stand with me today. And you know what the last thing Paul said as the worship team come up? He said in Philippians 3:10, you know his purpose, and this is what he wants us to have the same mind, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Oops, sufferings. Yes, in Christianity. Being conformed to his death. Ouch, you're going to have to die. And so am I. A daily death. Pick up your cross daily, the Bible says. Deny yourself. I'm afraid sometimes in this world, and sometimes, yes, even in this church, there's a lot of self going on. There's a lot of us. Deny ourselves and pick up our cross. And it says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. God is making us weapons. The word flame or fire in the Bible, it means sharpened blade to the point. God is making us weapons, but only if you allow him to make that weapon. See, many people want to go, ooh, you know what? It's a little bit too fiery in this church. You're a little bit too radical. Why do you think we're radical in this church? What do you think is so important in this church? Why do you think we have to make sure we have the fire of God in this church? Many people that come in here have never known Christ. They've never been raised in Christian homes. They come from darkness into light. In fact, all of us come from darkness into light. But when you take them out of the enemy's camp, you better believe they better be birthed in fire. You better believe that it's only the Holy Ghost that will change them. No religious program, no structure, no persuasive, all that persuasive stuff. It's not that that changes anybody. My gosh, it's the power of God. It's the reality of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God. Forget the programs. It's about him. And when it stops being about him, we need to shut the doors. It's about him. It's always been about him. And I've asked the worship team to sing a song. I hope they're ready. This song, it talks about putting a seal upon my heart. It talks about the fire. Let it burn. Burn within the fire of the Spirit. And I really believe that God is going to breathe on the embers. And I believe in this place, if you're born again, that your embers are lit. And some of you are on fire. It's like a roaring fire. But when it's a roaring fire, the people around you will never be the same again. Are people being infected by your life? When people are around you, are they being ravaged by the fire of God? Because that's what a fire does. It changes everything around it. It changes everything around. Nothing stays the same around fire. But I believe that there's women in this place, and I've been at that place before, where there's just a tiny little spark. And I've been honest with God. I'm really, really empty. But God is faithful. And as you're honest with him, he comes and... Spirit of God starts to release a fresh wind into that furnace of your being. And he wants to light you up tonight. He wants to burn in you again, so nothing stays the same. And as we start to sing this song, if we can have the words up as well, I want you to first of all just listen to this and look at the words. They're powerful. They're powerful. And then we're just going to have a 5-minute altar call as we sing this in a bit. And I want you to really, really examine yourself before God as to where the fire in your belly is. Where are you with God?
My heart is
I really believe in the last few minutes, God is going to come. Sing, Come Be a Fire. And join in. Let's sing.
Come be the fire inside of me. Come be the flame upon my heart. Come be the fire inside of me. Until you went out, I won. Come be the fire inside of me. Come be the flame upon my heart. Come be the fire inside of me. Until you went out,
I want to open the altars for a few minutes. And even now, I know that there's people in this place, you're just too tired. My gosh. I fear for you. I fear for you. I fear that we do not have that hunger for him. I fear for you. He's wanting to move like he's never wanted to move before. Quiet.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.